Welcome back to Corinth in the Car. I'm Josh. I'm back. And it's me and Luke today. Adam is actually on the road back, so we're missing one of our members once again. But we're ready to jump into a great conversation about the sermon that you heard yesterday if you were at church, the first of the all-in life. And we will get to that soon. But before, Luke, tell me what I've missed in the past 3 weeks. Just give me all the updates.
I think just about everything.
Just about everything.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I think it's funny. You're just thinking 3 weeks. I'm like, golly, I don't even remember. I don't even remember 2 days ago.
I know.
How am I supposed to let you know about all the details you missed over the last 3 weeks?
What are some highlights? Good. What's been good here at Corinth? Baptisms, teen ministry.
Yeah. Anything? I mean, we're continuing to see some baptisms, and it feels like, and I think the numbers are shaping out this way, but like one per Sunday.
Yeah.
Is about where we're at. So that's really, really encouraging to see. Teen ministry has been fun. Kind of winding down the school year semester and looking forward to the summer. Next week we're doing a little bit of a party. So if you're a high schooler or a middle schooler, come on out on Wednesday night.
To kick off the summer sort of thing?
Kick off the summer with a party.
All right. Any water involved?
No.
All right.
No, not this time. Cool. But I mean, maybe they'll have water to drink because they're going to be very tired with all of the dancing that they're going to do.
All right.
So it's going to be good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, my most recent trip was to Israel, and that was just a trip of a lifetime.
Yeah.
Honestly, really, really cool. Not enough time on this one hour.
We really should like record a, maybe like a bonus episode and like interview and be like, hey, just tell us what's up.
Yeah, it was just, trip of a lifetime, kind of landed on the shore in Tel Aviv, which is just north of ancient Joppa, so you think the story of Jonah, and then also where Peter stayed with Simon, Peter stayed with Simon the Tanner by the sea, that's that place, and then from there, we just, the rest of the week, just kind of went north, did Sea of Galilee stuff for a while, so you think Jesus walking on water, or Cana, or Magdala, where Mary was from.
Yeah.
Feeding the 5,000, the Mount of Beatitudes, and Sermon on the Mount. 80% of his ministry was on that sea.
Yeah.
And so we got to see a lot, and then went south to the Dead Sea, which is close to sort of Jericho. Also, the Jordan River just north of the Dead Sea is where Jesus was baptized, where the people of Israel would have crossed the Jordan into the Promised Land originally.
Yeah, sure.
And also, they would do that when they made their pilgrimage to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of saw all that area and then ended the trip with 3 days in Jerusalem, saw all the sites of Jesus's last week, Upper Room, Golgotha, Gethsemane, all sorts of things. So yeah, just trip of a lifetime. Saw it all and it flew by. So excited to go back someday. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. That's awesome.
Hey, Sunday is Mother's Day. So
yes, it is.
As you listen, it was yesterday, but
ooh, yeah.
I still have to get a present.
Me too.
So yeah, by the time by the time Sunday is around, I will have a present.
But you're talking
for my wife.
For your wife.
Yeah.
Have you already gotten your mom's taken care of?
No.
No.
So this is confession time with Josh.
Okay. Yeah. So you have three gifts to buy.
Basically.
Okay. There you go.
See, anyway,
I'm not in the phase of life to where my wife is a mother. And so I don't have to do a Mother's Day gift for her, but I do need to get one for my mom and figure out with her what we're going to do for her mom too. So it'll be,
it's been
down to the wire.
Know, things have snuck up this year being gone.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And so normally, actually, Sasha does a really good job of getting some Mother's Day stuff for grandparents and even great grandparents, having the kids make little handmade things and putting them in the mail and, that, you know, they'll get a handmade art craft sort of thing.
Sure.
There's been so much going on this year that we hadn't got to that. So
I hadn't gotten anything because I just hadn't gotten anything.
There you go. That happens sometimes too.
Yeah.
Hey, what's your favorite thing about your mom? What are you grateful for about her? Just something she taught you, something she did.
Here's whenever you say, what did my mom teach me? The first phrase that comes to mind over and over again is, Luke, think before you speak or think before you act. Because, man, I was I was like a bombshell as a little kid. I would go off and start saying things and doing things that didn't make any sense because I wouldn't, you know, like stop to think about like what's actually going on. So over and over again, I hear her voice to this day. Luke, think before you speak. Luke, think before you act. Think. I'm like, okay, yeah. That makes sense. So that
it's,
one.
It's
that,
hard. It's hard for little boys though. I mean, I'm raising a little boy. And so several times recently, we'll ask him a question and he's like, yes. And then I'll say, Dominic, think, is the answer actually yes? And he'll go, no, I'm going to go do it. It's just so funny. Yeah. So funny. Good. Don't just answer yes.
Yeah.
Think about it first. It's pretty great.
My mom was
and is great. And one of the things I always talk about her is just her commitment to do things that made us a family. One specific is she would make hot breakfasts probably 3 days out of the five.
Breakfasts.
So 3 out of the 5 kind of school days a week, probably something like that. Where.
Yeah.
And we always gathered around the table in the morning, at least as I'm remembering sort of high school time, because Megan and I were doing after school sports or activities. And so a lot of our family meals were the breakfast. And man, she was up early. She was making hot breakfast. So pancakes or biscuits and gravy or egg, we called them egg tacos, little egg breakfast burrito things. Yeah. And so I was so grateful for her commitment to do family things and get around the table.
Yeah.
So I love you. Love you, Mom. Barbara K. So there we go.
Which comes back to you, and this is the question Adam asked last week, is does your mom actually listen to this podcast?
No. I'm sure she doesn't.
Yeah. Absolutely same for our moms. We don't really think that they do. So we could have said whatever we wanted.
I think she knows it exists.
Yeah.
But I don't think she would know how to listen to a podcast.
That's funny.
So anyway, hey, we started a brand new sermon series, The All In Life.
Yes.
And whenever I hear the phrase all in, immediately I go back to high school and I think World Series of Poker, Texas Hold'em.
Yes.
And you're from Texas. So I'm assuming you played lots of Texas Hold'em poker.
Yeah, we played some, and we had even, like my brothers and I, we had a whole Texas Hold'em kit with all the chips and stuff like that. So if we were looking for something fun to do late into the night, sometimes we would pull that out. And
so play. Are you a good poker player? Like, do you have a good poker face? Can you trick people and tell them you have a hand when you really don't, all that sort of stuff?
So I was better than my brothers.
Okay.
But I don't know if that means that I was good. If that makes sense. Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like I was pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
My natural tendency is it's hard for me to trick people in poker. Like, I don't think I have a good poker face. So I wasn't that great, but I do remember, in college, some college soccer trips we played, and I remember winning a lot on that trip, and that made me feel real good.
Yeah, so. I think the difference was specifically when I played with my brothers. Of course, we never played with like actual money on the line because we didn't have any money.
Sure,
so we were just like
to play
these chips, you know, all that sort of stuff. But I think at that point, because there was nothing really at stake other than the, you know, bragging of winning. I think that the reason I won often was because I just had more patience than the rest of them.
Oh, okay.
Right. So they were just like, at a certain point in this game, it's just like, oh my goodness, I'm so tired of playing Texas Hold'em. And so they'll start at, like, just being careless and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I would just take advantage of that because I was more patient and I wanted to win more than them.
So did you ever take them all in?
Yeah.
Oh,
I did it a couple of times. Yeah. A couple of times it worked out. A couple of times.
And you get to throw the cards down and you have like a 3 and a 6 off suited.
Yeah.
That's a good feeling.
Yeah.
All in. So we're not talking about how to win at poker, obviously, in this series.
No.
But the all in life, I love the idea of the all in life. Just we're going to be all in when it comes to, you know, our serving, our groups, our community, and worship. And that's what we're going to talk about for 3 weeks. So Adam was up yesterday. I'll be up next week. And then you're up the week after that.
That's right.
Talking about all in, all these areas. So, the sermon yesterday was all about service. And so really Adam started, let's just remind us and our audience, He started with a quote towards the beginning that said, successful people do consistently what others do occasionally. And so just the all in life being consistent, and that is kind of an intro to the whole series, not just this sermon, but the whole series,
right?
Consistently showing up and serving, consistently showing up to your group and community, consistently worshiping on here at Corinth, here on a weekend, and then in your life and all that stuff. So consistency is huge. And then he went to the early church in the book of Acts, a couple stories from Acts 4, one story from Acts 6, talking about some things they were doing consistently as it pertained to service and sacrifice, surrender. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to stop talking and let you summarize those three stories real quick. Just what did the early church do really well that we need to imitate?
Yeah, I mean, he highlights three things, those stories, two coming from Acts chapter 4, which really come after the whole narrative leading into those stories would start at Acts chapter 3, which is the healing of the lame man at the gate called Beautiful, which when Peter does that, it leads into an opportunity for him to preach.
By the way,
at the temple.
We did see the gate Beautiful last week.
You did? Okay.
It's closed up.
Okay.
You can't get through it, but I had Sasha stand in front of it and said, "Hey, Beautiful, stand in front of the Beautiful gate."
There you go.
We'll take a picture.
Nice. All right, I love
keep
it.
Keep going.
So the healing of the lame man at that Beautiful gate gives Peter the opportunity then to preach a sermon in public at the temple area. And so after they preach the sermon, they pull them aside and be like, "Hey, look, guys, you can't do this anymore." And so they start to threaten Peter, and the rest is like, you've got to stop. If you don't stop, there's going to be some consequences. We're going to get you, you know, that sort of stuff. And so that's whenever you get to the Acts chapter 4, and they're like, "Well, we can't stop. Like, we're not going to stop. We're not going to stop telling about Jesus. We can't change all of those things." And so the threat of making them stop actually turns into prayer for and the result of more boldness. And so they just, I mean, like, they're united, ready to go, ready to start preaching even more, all that good stuff. And so that kind of leads into the second example, which is that after this, the church was just like united together around the same mission, wanting to make a difference for the kingdom. And so, you know, you heard Adam talk about the fact that there's no needy people among this very early church. Everybody took care of everybody. They sold the things that they owned. They, Barnabas, for one example, gave like a bunch of land away. Sold the land and gave the money from the sellings away to the church. And
I believe you kept none of it, right?
Kept none of it, right? So like you're saying all in, like that's all in.
It is.
That's 100% not holding anything back type of living for the church. And so just really, really cool stuff in that one. And then he gets to Acts chapter 6 as well, where this one's kind of fun to me, because Acts chapter 6, by this time, like the apostles, like the actual 12, like they are wanting to devote themselves to preaching, but they're finding that because so many people are in need, they need to actually recruit a team, right? And so Adam made the joke, it's the first Meals on Wheels program.
Yeah.
Where they grabbed seven dudes and said, "Hey, your job is to make sure that the widows are fed. Like, just I want you to make sure that they're fed." And you think about like all of the details that go into that, right? Like, that means that someone's buying the food, preparing the food, delivering the food, making sure that they know like a widow list in order to get the food to the right places. Like, it's a big project.
It was Gentile inclusion as well.
Correct. Yes.
So yeah, to make sure Gentile widows weren't being left out.
Yes, absolutely. And so just really, really cool to see that. It's actually the first time that you see Stephen, who will become the first martyr in Acts chapter 7. And it really just, the witness that he had was just because he decided to say yes and go all in for, you know, serving in the Meals on Wheels program. Just really, really cool stuff. So you've got all of these stories that just demonstrate the church, you know, the people in that church were consistently doing what everybody else might have been just doing occasionally. And you see some really cool stuff as a result.
Yeah. Man, Acts is just a super cool book. Often it's called the Acts of the Apostles. That's kind of what it's short for.
Right.
But you can make a really big case. It could be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit as well.
Right.
The Holy Spirit just becomes a character. And you even see early in the book, the apostles kind of cast lots for Matthias to replace Judas as one of the 12.
Yep.
But then after the day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit has been poured out, you see them consulting the Holy Spirit. And he's even a character where they say, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us in certain times. And so, man, super cool to see the Spirit of God working through the people of God to make a powerful impact on their community. And so, man, they were all in. They were all in all of the time. And several stories. We could have even shared more from the book of Acts.
100%.
Anything else jump out to you? Or as you read through the sermon, anything that was kind of striking to you from what Adam said, or challenging, insightful?
Yeah, I mean, I just love the all-in language with this. And, you know, when it comes to our serving, when it comes to our giving, when it comes to our sharing, because I think sometimes we are, I don't know, the word might be guilty or not guilty. I think sometimes we approach kind of like this idea of surrendered living with, what is the bare minimum that I can do that makes me good with the church and good with God? And that question in and of itself is kind of the wrong question, because it's not about the bare minimum. It's about, you know, God has been so good to me. Everything that I have is his anyway, the time that I have, the resources that I have, the money that I have. And so how can I demonstrate my faith in him, my trust in his mission, by surrendering all of it? Like, am I really all in, or am I just asking, okay, is 10% just the bare minimum that, like, I'm good to go on that, or, you know, whatever. So I just love kind of the putting this out there is no. Like, what we mean, I don't know. I don't want to say it's expected, you know, all that sort of stuff, but a really transformed life reveals that it does. Like, you're all in. You're all in. So I love this. And when you go all in, like, you guys know this, we could use the Texas Hold'em analogy, like, right? Like, when you're all in, you're pushing it all in.
And you have nothing.
You have nothing left.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Right. So, just love this idea.
Yeah. And, you know, both of us are, have athletics in our history and, you know, soccer or whatever. For most of it, for both of us, we're probably the primary sport, right?
Yeah.
And you just think about the successful people. They were all in. And one of my biggest frustrations, I played soccer in college at Ozark with a guy who was much more talented and gifted than I was, but he was lazy.
Sure.
And he could have been so much better. And it's not like we were playing scholarship soccer at Ozark. It was, you know, we were there to train for Christian leadership. We weren't there to play soccer, but it was still, I think, a chance for him to learn a life lesson. And whatever you're doing, like Colossians says, do it as to the Lord and not to men. And the people that are successful, they do consistently what other people do occasionally, and they're all in all the time. So I really loved that last story, Acts chapter 6. Adam pointed out that 7 to take care of the widows, plus 12 apostles, doesn't just equal 19. It's exponential. And so whenever you divide the load, whenever you recognize people who are full of the Spirit and full of wisdom, like was said about Stephen and the others, it enables more people to go all in. And it's not just simple addition anymore. It's multiplication.
Right.
So,
yeah,
man, I love that. So kind of the three-step of application was that we are going to go all in with serving. So as an overarching theme for the sermon, it's just surrendered living. And so you think about all these areas you can surrender, which if you're surrendering, you're kind of throwing up the white flag. You're saying, hey, I'm not going to be the master. I'm not going to be in control. So surrendered living, all in with serving, all in with giving, and all in with sharing. So let's take each one of those just one at a time. Adam shared all in with serving. 1 Corinthians 12:4-5, it reads, There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. That's 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 5. So what does that mean, all in serving? For you, when you hear that, here are some of the excuses people might make. This was referenced in the sermon, I believe, as well. Sure. I don't know what to do. I don't have time. I don't have any special skills to contribute, and they don't need me. So are there any other excuses that you hear people make? And then how can we get over some of those excuses, and how can we sort of give our people some language for, you know, what it means to be all in serving?
Yeah. I don't know that I can think of any more excuses. I think maybe more excuses might just be variations of the one that Adam put here, right? Like, they don't need me would be a similar to, you know, like, they already have people, or I don't have any special skills to contribute might be in, like, you know, maybe I'm not talented enough. So all of these excuses are pretty on point. But the thing about them is just like, they're not true at all. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have time. That's not true.
The only one that might be is, I don't know what I would do.
Sure. Right. But you walk through
them. We can help you with that.
Right. You walk through them and it's like, I don't have time. Well, that's not true. And you have time for what you make time for. And if you're all in, then you're going to make time for serving the church, serving in the kingdom of God, really serving Jesus is what it comes down to. Like, you are serving Jesus. I don't know what I would do might be a valid excuse, but that's not one that you should hold you up, because we'll answer those questions. You know, people will answer those questions. I don't have any special skills to contribute. Not true. Not true at all. And they don't need me. Also not true.
If we can just throw a number at that, to really get the most out of our weekend events, our worship services on Sunday mornings and children's environments and all that stuff, it really does take about 25% mm-hmm. of our weekly attendance to carry out all the service. So what that means is many people need to attend a service and then serve the second service, or vice versa, serve and then attend.
And that 25% number is, correct me if I'm wrong, because you're the guy who talks about this number in a what is it, Changemaker?
Yeah. Yep.
So that number is just based on the amount that we need for a Sunday morning service, right?
Correct.
So that doesn't include anything that we do on Wednesday night. That doesn't include any type of small group leader position. That wouldn't include, like,
right.
So you're talking of 25% just mm-hmm. to do a Sunday morning. But by the time you add all of the other ministries that we do and all of the other ministries that we want to do, like, mm-hmm. we need more.
Yeah, and some of them that were listed, something like a funeral meal. There's not really a schedule for that because, I mean, that's based upon the funeral that comes up, the need. But we need people to do that. I think we can highlight this event again, Feed My Starving Children. We showed the video yesterday. We're going to pack over 100,000 lunches.
Yep.
And as of this recording, we don't know what area of the world we're serving yet. The organization works with several different areas, but there's a huge need. And I forget what the percentage was. I watched this video. We'll see it yesterday or whatever. We'll see it Sunday. As you listen, you'll have seen it yesterday, perhaps. Yep. It's a high percentage of kids under the age of 5 that just die from hunger. Mm-hmm. And so Feed My Starving Children, August 11th and 12th. If we're going to do a commercial in the middle of this podcast, that would be it.
Yeah.
Sign up for it. 2 days, a Friday night and a Saturday, just in a span of a few hours, we're going to pack over 100,000 lunches. But what that means is we need 500 volunteers. So that's over half of our regular weekend attendance. So we need all hands on deck. This is a thing you can do. Dads, you can get your wives and kids involved. This is not something just for adults. All ages, all kids can be a part of this. And so, man, sign up, because I know this. We grow when we serve.
Yeah.
So,
and here's just an extra challenge I'll add in just specifically for this one, and really the whole idea of all in serving. Whenever there's a need like this and it is communicated in May, you still have June and July and some in August. So there's, you know, basically 2.5-3 months. Mm-hmm. And we're saying, hey, would you set aside maybe 2 hours on either this Friday night or this Saturday night, 2.5 months away? Yeah. Here's what I know about you guys. if your kid's soccer coach said, hey, we're going to do a training on August 11th, and I need you to set aside 2 hours, guess what you already have in your calendar? You already have that practice in your calendar because that's what you've prioritized. And so you hear it say, with love and grace in our hearts, it's like, an all-in life prioritizes stuff like this. You know, this isn't just something that you hear and it's like, oh, well, they don't need me, or they're probably going to be enough, or I don't really need to be a part of that. It's like, no, we need you. You need to be a part of this. This is a way that you can demonstrate an all-in type of life when it comes to serving. So put it on your calendar and prioritize it like you would just about any other event.
Yeah, and I loved, you know, in the sermon, Adam also talked about things that really grew his faith, specifically when he jumped in to serve, speaking in youth group as a high schooler or leading a middle school group or going on a mission trip. All of those things, I think it's fair to say, with him out of the room, I think it's fair to say that he didn't feel qualified to do any of those.
Sure.
But once again, I think this was even in the sermon. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
Yep.
You know, and so step in to serve. That's to throw it back to the book of Acts, the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Right, it's what the Holy Spirit was doing in and through the lives of the early church, not because they were so special. And in fact, this is just popping into my mind again. They were actually accused, remember, of just being unschooled, ordinary people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made the book of Acts so cool. It's because here's these normal dudes that really, I mean, literally turn the world upside down. Yep. So, yeah, surrendering your service is so important. Because another thing that happens in a lot of organizations is it's like the 80-20 rule. You ever heard this?
Yep.
Where, you know, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And so sometimes, even here at Corinth, we have some people that are filling those service roles, but one person is filling two or three or four roles.
Right.
They're doing multiple things out of the goodness of their hearts.
Right.
But what that also means is there are people sitting perhaps on the sidelines, to use a sports analogy, that could be getting in the game.
Yeah.
So,
and to go back to that number, that would be the exponential stuff. Because if one person is serving in four different roles, there's potential that they're getting a little bit tapped out because of the overwhelming need, right? And so how cool would it be if we were to grab that person and say, hey, here's the role that you're really good at. I want you to go all in with that, because now we have three other people.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take the other three roles that you do, and they're going to be able to go all in with that. And the it's exponential, the impact that's actually made. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, love it.
Let's go all in with serving. All in with giving was kind of the second challenge, and I love this. Psalm 112, verse 9, they share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. So let's go all in with giving. The early church and the book of Acts were selling all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And so
it looked like they started Dave Ramsey or something.
Exactly,
They're getting rid of everything.
So here's a funny line. We last night we were in this Money Matters class. Jason King is leading it, doing a great job.
Yeah, just
talking about budgeting and getting out of debt and healthy money habits. It's really good stuff. And he quoted Dave Ramsey. One of his lines he says is, when you're trying to get out of debt and kind of getting your life on track, he said, you should be selling so much stuff your kids think they're next.
Yeah. Yep.
So that just made me laugh. But man, all in with giving. What strikes you when you hear that phrase, to go all in with giving?
I think the first thing that comes up is that just we have to recognize that the resources that we have do not belong to us in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And because if we think that they do, then it's going to be really, really easy to hold on to it or to find security in it. But whenever you understand that everything that you have has been given to you and it already belongs to somebody else, then it's going to be easier for you to kind of adapt the generosity that we're talking about whenever it comes to kind of the all-in giving of the all-in life. So I think that's the first thing, is that sometimes we just don't recognize that what I have is actually not my own.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the most helpful things my parents did when I was about 13 years old, I think, is they said, Josh, we're not buying anything else for you. I was like, okay, what does that mean? I said, well, we're going to give you the money that we would have spent on you, and you're responsible for spending it appropriately.
Sure.
And they didn't just leave me out there to dry. They actually gave me this pen and paper or pencil and paper, like ledger notebook. And we wrote down, you know, tithe and clothing. And mm-hmm. there was a line in there even that said giving. And that wasn't tithe. That wasn't offering.
Yeah.
It was money that if a friend had a birthday party and I wanted to buy my friend a birthday present, or if a need came up. And I think as you budget, that can be a line, like a generosity line in your budget to, hey, a need arises. You don't have to steal from another budget line.
Right.
It's like already a grocery line to pay, to help somebody out. Yeah. You have it there. And so to put generosity in your budget, and if you don't have a budget, to get a budget, to tell your money where to go, is super important. You know, one story that popped into my head is the rich young ruler, mm-hmm. when Jesus interacts with him, and he tells him to sell all his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus doesn't tell that to everybody. So, I mean, I guess why did Jesus tell that to the rich young ruler? And then, we'll start with that.
I think because Jesus knew, Jesus knows where we're all at and what we need to do in order to surrender to him. And for this specific young man, Jesus knew that the holdup that he had with following him would have been the possessions that he had. Mm-hmm. Right. So Jesus says, all right, you want to follow me, you can't just halfway follow me. You got to all the way follow me. So sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. I think about another example in the Gospels where someone says, they want to come follow Jesus. And Jesus says, all right, come follow me. And he says, well, first, can I go home and bury my dad?
Yeah.
Which probably doesn't necessarily mean that his dad literally just died. It probably just means can I wait for my dad to die? Let me bury my dad.
Well, there was actually, this is another Israel connection.
Right.
That story our tour guide was talking about, usually what would happen is the body would be put away for about a year.
Sure.
And then they would put it like in a box kind of thing.
Okay.
And then after it decomposed, they would rebury.
Okay.
Or they would take the bones out and things like that. So there's a whole process to it. So it's not his dad just died. His dad's been dead for a year.
Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. I've not ever heard that before. Thank you for...
There you go.
I'm so excited.
Thank you. Thank you, Rami, our tour guide in Israel. Rami's the man.
So, but Jesus responds and he's like, well, let the dead bury the dead. Uh-huh. You come follow me now. And so for this person, he didn't ask him to sell everything, but he did ask him to sacrifice something that he was holding on to. Mm-hmm. And so here for the rich young ruler, I think the reason he asked the rich young ruler this and maybe not others this is because he knows that's what he's holding on to.
Yeah.
So what are you holding on to that is preventing you from going all in with Jesus? You probably ought to get rid of it. And for so many of us, that often is a financial something where it costs a lot to take care of our families. It costs a lot to make sure that we have what we need. And so there's a little bit of us that's like, okay, I've got to have a tight grip on all of my stuff to make sure I have what I need, to make sure my family is fed, all that sort of stuff. And those aren't bad things. But is it your ultimate thing? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're living for? And if so, then that's not really all in giving.
So you're a Dave Ramsey guy. Have you, I had never seen this until last night. Have you ever seen somebody do the debt-free scream?
Yes, I have. I watch the debt-free scream occasionally to get to get motivation.
So Jason showed us one of these last night. There was this 29-year-old woman who had $61,000 of debt, and she paid it off. You want to guess in how many months?
Let's just say 6 months.
That would be really extreme.
That'd be crazy.
It was 32 months.
32 months, okay.
Not that long, though. And she went all in on this because she got an extra job. She was delivering pizzas and basically taking all 100% of that money.
Yeah.
I don't know if she was a person of faith and she tithed. I'm not sure on that.
Yeah.
But I do know her story. She got this extra job and put all that money and paid off this extreme amount of debt in just a little bit because she was all in. And she even told real stories about just her bed, for example, wasn't even a real mattress. It was an air mattress. And she wouldn't even buy a new air mattress because she didn't want anything to get in the way of her paying off that debt.
Wow.
And so this air mattress had a leak in it. And she said, it wasn't even a slow leak. It was like every day I pumped it up. And every morning when I woke up, I was on the ground. But she made that sacrifice. And so maybe just to help our listeners think, to think practically about how you can be more generous with sharing or with giving, to think through what we actually need to do. Like, do we need to eat out as much as we do?
Right.
Can we be more creative? Could we skip a meal and take that money to give? What could we do? Because often I think there are real issues. So don't hear me in any way saying just get over it and you can figure this out. Some issues are very, very difficult.
Sure.
And for some people, they're in real situations of just struggle. But for many of us, much of the time, if we just sacrificed a little bit, I think we would see more money pop up that we could give, that we could share, things like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, just last week, man, we went out to eat at Chick-fil-A. My in-laws were still in town after watching the kids, and we didn't even eat like crazy stuff. We just got nuggets, sandwiches, and a bowl of fruit, and 5 out of the 7 of us drank water.
Yeah.
So we didn't even have all drinks. None of us got desserts or anything. And it was $60 just at Chick-fil-A. And so that stuff stacks up so quickly.
Yep.
So anyway, I don't want to belabor that point. All in with giving. Let's be generous and let's be known by our generosity here at Corinth. In fact, I think we already are in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Corinth, just I guess to brag on you, we did get over what we needed for the gift card drive.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we need? 106, and I think we got 117.
Yep.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
So we were able to bless even more people than we weren't planning on. So keep that up. And even with things like VBS coming up soon, keep up that generosity. You guys are always awesome.
Yeah.
So
and I mean, keep the same perspective. I mean, like there's, I don't remember what chapter verse, but there's a psalm that just says, you know, it's God that owns the cattle on the land of 1,000 hills. It's like God is incredibly wealthy.
Yeah.
And I love whenever, the sermon whenever Adam you go, says,
he doesn't need your money and he doesn't even need you.
Right. Like God's got everything that he needs. And so whenever you demonstrate that you're all in with him, man, I have no doubt that you're going to be blessed with everything that you need. And so just go all in, go all in.
Yep.
That doesn't necessarily mean that you're just saying, all right, I'm writing 100% of my paycheck over to Corinth or over to this, local ministry or to this, foreign missionary or whatever. But it does mean you might be occasionally doing more than 10. And it does mean that you don't have this hold on your money to keep you from being generous. So,
yeah. And sometimes doing something just a little bit, how do I say this? That might not make sense. But just making a sacrifice like, hey, I don't know where this money is going to come from, but I'm going to bless this person.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be unwise, but you also, sometimes just stepping out in faith and trusting God with a sacrifice can be a really cool stretch of faith. So the final point was let's be all in with sharing. So all of these come back to surrendered living. So sharing, what do we mean by sharing, Luke?
We mean whenever I am 3 years old and there is a toy that I really want to play with.
Yep.
Not holding onto that toy whenever somebody else wants to play with it.
Sharing our story. Yes, sharing our story. Yeah. We're kidding there. So surrender living means not only is, you know, our skills aren't ours actually, they've been given by God. Our stuff isn't ours. They've been given by God. And even our story isn't ours. Like it's God's story that he's telling through us. And I love that Adam went to John 9 and this blind man, he said, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, referring to Jesus.
Right.
But he says, I do know one thing. I was blind and now I see.
Yep.
And we've talked about that story several times before, actually, how it's just a great model for evangelism and telling your story, because you don't have to know everything about the Bible. You don't have to know every proof of God or everything about why the Bible makes sense. Just tell your story. Mm-hmm. Who are you because of what Jesus has done?
Yeah.
Or who would you be without the influence of Jesus? So
Correct.
What else what else do you think on that? How can we share our story? What are some practical ways maybe we can do that?
I think practical step number one, you can't share your story if you don't know your story.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's some great value in just taking some time just to sit down and reflect on your story,
mm-hmm.
right? So maybe that means getting a pen and paper and just writing it down. Maybe that means taking, you know, some time just to remember God's faithfulness throughout your life. Maybe for some, maybe it means going to get some counseling for a little bit to unpack some of the stuff in your past so that you can, you know, share what God has done in your life. Like there's all sorts of different ways that you can kind of remember and know your story. Cause you can't share what you don't know. Right. Like,
right.
I don't know. I can tell you, what is happening in the disc golf world because I know what's happening in the disc golf world. Right.
Yeah.
I can tell you my story mm-hmm. because I know my story. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know your story, you can't share your story. So take some time to know it and figure it out.
I think too, just looking for those natural opportunities that would create an opportunity for you to say something. It's like, what are you going to say with that? So here's the example. I'm reading a book right now, and the author is he's a corporate lawyer, and so he said, when I'm in a conversation and I don't really want to talk to that person, and they ask me what I do, I'll say, I'm a corporate lawyer, because then they're like, oh, I don't really want to talk to you. But then he said, when I do want to talk about it, he says, I create new things out of words. Because what he does is like writes up proposals and things for maybe two businesses to merge. And he literally is creating new things out of old or different things. And sure. he's a Christian guy and talking about how things are always made of words. Like God created the world out of words. And even, you know, as parents, like we're creating futures in our kids or our relationships out of words. And what are we telling them? And so maybe an application point for us is just to think, how are we going to answer somebody when they ask us, what do we do for a living? Mm-hmm. Or any question you just are prepared to answer, to maybe keep the conversation going, and then think, how can you highlight Jesus? How can you make him famous
right.
for what he has done in your life.
Yeah.
You know? So that's perhaps a challenge. Think of creative ways and maybe even just play it out in your head. You know, when someone asks you a certain question, how can you respond to keep the conversation going and eventually turn it towards what Jesus has done in your life. So yeah, let's share our story. Anything else as you think about the sermon as a whole, sharing your story, surrendered living?
I would say this too, for just knowing that some of the things that I've wrestled with early on in Bible college, just with the story part, you have a story, regardless of whether you think you do or not. And I think we've talked about this on the podcast before.
Yeah, we have.
Where it's just mm-hmm. like there was a time in my life where I was hearing all of these extravagant come to Jesus. You know, I was away from Christ, but now through something miraculous that happened, I know Christ and I've overcome this. And I'm just thinking, like, I grew up in the church. Like, I don't have this story that's going to be, you know, to use maybe it's not a super sexy story or whatever, yes. right? Like,
yeah.
But I remember a Bible college professor pulling me aside after I had. And I was talking to him about it. He's like, why are you apologizing? One, you have a story, and two, you have the story that I want my kids to have.
Right.
So you've got a story, and that question, you know, I was blind, but now I see. Where would you be if you did not know Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Where were you if you didn't? But where would you be if you didn't? And so for those that are hearing, you know, saying go all in with sharing your story, and your first inclination is to think, I don't know that I have one. No, you do. Mm-hmm. So take the time to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was also encouragement that Jesus gave to his disciples. And he said, hey, don't worry whenever you're dragged before the courts and, you know, the synagogues and things like that. He says, the Holy Spirit will help you in that time to know the words to say. And so I think sometimes we just need to kind of go and put ourselves out there. Even if we don't know exactly what to say, we keep the conversation going, and once again, to reference the Acts of the Holy Spirit. When the early church started, it was the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And so same thing as we continue going. So good stuff. Surrender living. We're going to be all in serving, all in giving, all in sharing. And that's one of the steps of the all in life. Next week, we'll be talking about just community and
all in with
life-changing relationships. Yeah, everybody needs a circle. And just to give a little sneak peek, you can't, the Bible talks about almost 60 one another's. And really, those are what the church is supposed to be doing with or for or to one another. And you can't do those things. You can't one another unless you're with one another.
Right.
And so we're going to be challenged to get into circles. But before that, the bottom line for this week was the all-in life is about contributing and not only consuming.
Yeah.
So what strikes your head or what pops into your head when you hear that line?
Yeah, two things. I think that this is such an incredible bottom line because we really do live in a consuming culture. All of our culture is about consuming. What can I entertain myself with? What can I consume? And so, you know, to recognize that in the kingdom of God, it's not only about consuming, but it's majority about contributing. What do I have that I can offer? Is it time to serve? Is it, you know, money to give? Is it a story to share? The answer to all three of those things is yes. So you contribute and you contribute. I do think that it is interesting, though, that it's not only consuming, where, you know, consuming is a little bit of a part to this. And
it is,
that'll be something that I think I'll be touching on in week three.
In worship, yeah.
In worship. But, you know, even in worship, worship is, you could say the same thing. It's absolutely about contributing because worship is contribution.
Yeah.
But there is some stuff like, no, I want to learn and I want to grow. And so there is some consuming aspect to it as well.
Yeah. What pops into my head is just the image of your lungs. You know, you breathe in and you breathe out. And if you only breathed in, well, you can only do that for so long.
Right.
And then you're just puffed up and breathing out and just the continual in and out, just imagining the breath. That's what gives life to your body, is breathing in and breathing out. So the challenge, just finish the sentence, I'm going all in with, and then just get practical. Don't be a hero and try to solve everything at once. Just wrestle with what is God leading you to. And, you know, maybe my challenge is this, just maybe start with one. So if you're not serving, maybe go there. If you're not giving, go there. If you're not sharing your story, go there. Don't try to do all three of them and be a hero tomorrow.
Right.
Just start with one and then keep adding to it.
Yeah.
So,
yep. That's good stuff.
All right. Cool. That's a wrap for the sermon.
Cool.
I did catch up on the podcasts from when I was gone.
Very good.
And so one thing I heard you say, Luke, is that you would like to play the game, like to see how in sync we are, because you and Adam played that game. To see how you were.
Okay, I remember this, yes.
And I think you got, I don't know.
We got maybe two of them right.
It
was because they were both about the Chiefs.
Something like that, yeah. So we're going to play in sync.
Sweet.
And so we'll follow your same format you did a couple weeks ago with I'll say a word and then just go one, two, three, and we'll, you know, say what we're thinking.
Yes.
And we'll see how many we can get.
Sounds great.
If I counted right, I also got 15 words just like the other one. So
we'll see.
We'll go round two. Let's see if we're more in sync than, anyway, doesn't matter.
Yes.
Just for fun. Okay. First word is Justin. One, two, three.
Timberlake.
In sync.
There you go.
See what I did there?
Uh-huh. Nice.
All right.
I didn't even make that connection.
All right. Dessert. One, two, three. Ice
Cake.
Cream.
Mm. Ooh.
Friends. One, two, three. Monica.
TV. We both went the same route.
The show, yeah.
I was like, wait, should I name an actual friend here, like that I have?
So we're one for three. All right, vacation. One, two, three. Mountains.
Bible school.
Vacation. Bible school. That's good. All right. Color. One, two, three. Blue.
Red.
Is red your favorite?
No, aquamarine is my favorite color.
All right. State. One, two, three. Texas.
Yes.
I figured
that was a trust thing.
Yeah.
I was like in my head, I was like, okay, I am trusting that he is going to know what I'm going to say here.
Yeah.
So,
well, and, or you could just say the guy from Missouri just figured Texas would have to say Texas. They're not going to go anywhere else.
No.
So,
yeah. No.
All right. Apple. 1, 2, 3. Computer.
Red. Oh, I went red again.
All right. Movie. 1, 2, 3.
Hot
Lord
Rod.
Of the Rings. Hot Rod. Fast food. 1, 2, 3.
Chick-fil-A.
There it is. Maybe I set that one up too, because
that's okay.
That's too easy.
That's all okay.
Right. All right. Oasis. 1, 2, 3.
Lake.
All I could think of was the opposite, and I was going to say desert.
Desert, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Delta, 1, 2, 3.
Plane.
Airplane. Yeah, that's close enough.
That's there, yeah, yeah.
All right. Spicy, 1, 2, 3.
Wing.
Love it. Let's go get wings for lunch.
Spicy.
Spicy. If Adam's listening. What do we got? Three more? Three more. All right. Ford, 1, 2, 3.
Truck. Escape.
And sport, 1, 2, 3. Soccer.
Football. Yeesh. Thought we were going to go fandom there, not actual.
All right. Last one. App. 1, 2, 3.
U-Disc.
Your favorite app. App is U-Disc. All right. We didn't do much better than you and Adam, but we had fun doing it. So, hey, we're glad to be with you wherever you are. If it is in your car or if you're walking or running or whatever it is, come back next week for part two of the All In Life. And man, we hope you have a great week. Until then, we love you. See you later.